The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
I've been talking to you about turning stumbling blocks into stepping stones. I've heard it said that the only difference between stumbling blocks and stepping stones is the way they're used. You know, if you'd like to, you turn to Numbers chapter 13. When the children of Israel entered the promised land, and the first city they encountered was Jericho, this was a huge city, huge walls, probably 8 or 10 foot thick walls. The people were barricaded in there. There was no way humanly possible for the Israelites to take that city. But God had a plan. God had a plan to take those walls and push them down so that the children of Israel could use the same stones that was their obstacle. They could use it as stepping stones to enter the city and take that city. And that's exactly what happened. But prior to that, we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13, where they went into the land and they spied out the land. And we've been talking about several different things that it takes to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones, because some of the spies allowed, which were leaders, allowed the stumbling blocks or the obstacles that were before them to hold them back and keep them from accomplishing God's will. So one of the first things we looked at was ways to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones in Numbers chapter 13 is to obey God. That's the very first thing. In Jeremiah 7:23, it says this, "But this is what I command them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you." It will be well with us when we walk in obedience to the Lord and to His will for our life. So the first thing is be obedient to the Lord. Second thing was spy out the land. Count the cost. Anytime that we feel like God is calling us to do something, it's important that we count the cost. Luke chapter 14, verse 28. "For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Always count the cost. Anything that you endeavor to do, you should count the cost. No one builds a house, or at least you shouldn't build a house. I guess I have seen some people who build a house without counting the cost. They don't get very far. They start and do not finish because they didn't count the cost. They didn't realize what it was going to take to do what they were going to do. We always have to count the cost. Listen, when God calls you to do something, there is a cost. It's going to cost you something. Most of the time, what God is requiring from you is your complete and total obedience. What He is asking of you is you to give nothing more than all of yourself. Give everything you've got to Him. That means everything. That means your will, your desire, your hopes, your dreams, and yes, even your pocketbook goes to God. Now, some of you squirm a little bit when I say pocketbook, but that's exactly right. God wants everything you have. He wants it so that He can bless you in return. It's not about Him. He doesn't need anything you have. It's all about you. It's all about what He wants for you and how He desires for you to be an overcomer in Him. For you to be prosperous, for you to be able to accomplish, for you to go forth in His name, for you to be a king, for you to be a child of the Most High God, to be a son of God, a child of God, a daughter of God, to recognize who He is and who you are in Him. The third thing, first thing is obedience, the second thing is spy out the land, the third thing that we talked about is just keep moving. In order to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones, you got to keep stepping. You got to keep moving forward. You cannot allow these things to stop you. Psalms 3:3, "But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head." Keep that in mind. Keep moving forward. John Maxwell wrote a best-selling book called Failing Forward. And in that book, he talks about how important it is to recognize that your failures are just a means to propel you forward. When you fail and you make a mistake, you should learn from that thing and be propelled forward by that. So failing forward. We say around here we're either up or we're getting up. The enemy will knock you down. He'll try to step on you. But the truth is there is no reason for us to lay there and squirm trying to get away from his big foot. Because the Word of God says that he is under Christ's foot. And guess what? We are the body of Christ. That means he's under our foot. He's under us. Therefore, we need to get up, recognize who we are, and start stomping the enemy instead of letting the enemy stomp us. That happened with these children of Israel. They saw giants in the land. They saw a fortified city. And they became fearful. So they stopped moving. Obedience, spying out the land, keep moving. Number four, speak words of faith, not defeat. Look at verse, turn to Numbers 13, if you haven't already. You probably have, I'm way behind you. Numbers 13, verse 22. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron, Heman, Shisha, and Talmai. The descendants of Anak were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and the figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the clusters which the men of Israel cut down before them. Incredible fruit that they encountered in this promised land. They cut down one cluster of grapes and they had to carry it on a pole between them. It was huge. The pomegranate, I don't know how they carried these things. They were huge. This was huge fruit. This was just part of the spoils that was in the land just waiting for them. God sent them into that land so that they could see what was theirs. It was already theirs. God had told them all you had to do is listen to me and go get it. He showed them the fruit so that they would focus on the fruit, so that they would look at what was a possible for them in the future. All they had to do was go in and take it. But they didn't speak words of faith. They spoke words of defeat. You see, these men were all leaders in Israel. They were chosen from each tribe, a leader from each tribe is what the Word of God says. Leaders. Leaders are supposed to know better. Leaders are supposed to be full of faith. Leaders are supposed to encourage people and lead people in the right direction. But I can tell you from experience that just because a person is a leader in the church does not mean they have a lot of faith. In fact, many times they're put in their position because they don't have any faith. I don't know why we do that. We should be choosing people, leaders that will encourage, that will lift up, that will spur people forward to do the work of the Holy Spirit. But instead, we take people that we think have accomplished something in the community or have authority or pull in the community, and we place them in leadership in the church. I can tell you there are hundreds of churches around this area. That's exactly what they have. They have somebody who has a name, and the church is doing nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen? Amen? I'm mean this morning, huh? The reality is God calls leaders to lead. That's right. And to lead toward Him, not in the other direction. But what we see in this particular situation is the leaders see the fruit and they see the giants and they focused on the giants. Instead of speaking words of faith and affirmation, we can go in and take the land, look at this fruit, look how wonderful it is. They went back to the people and say, there's giants in the land and we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Giants. That's exactly what we were talking about. Anak, there were giants in the land. In fact, if you go back to Genesis, you will find that the giants originated from the fallen angels that came to earth and had a relationship with the women, and these giants were born from that relationship in the land. Now, we don't know a whole lot from Scripture about these giants. It's mentioned in the New Testament. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. But if you go to some external books of the Bible, like the book of Enoch, it talks much more about those things. Now, I'm not saying that you should study the book of Enoch. I'm just telling you the New Testament mentions it. So evidently, it was a book that they studied. But these things were genetic freaks. And God wanted them wiped off the face of the earth. It was Satan's attempt to alter the genes of mankind and what God had done to create man. And God had to wipe them from the face of the earth. And he got rid of almost all of them until the time of David. And in the time of David, he sent David out to kill one of them, Goliath. And the rest of them were wiped out, but David and his mighty men. The giants were wiped from the face of the earth. That was God's desire, God's plan, to get rid of those heathenous genetic freaks that needed to be wiped from the face of the earth. You think God's kind of mean, because in many cases he sent those the Israelites in and he said, just kill them all. Don't allow anything to live. Man, woman, child, beast. But in most of those cases, those were the sons of Anak. Those were see if I get the pronunciation right. Rephraim, I believe it is. But anyhow, they were giants that were genetic alterations of God's perfect creation. So they really were encountering giants. In fact, giant skeletons have been found all over the world. And you know what they do with them? They hide them away someplace so that we don't know about it. There's been giant skulls found, giant bones found, giants, complete skeletons of giants found all over the world. And scientists hide them away. You know why? Because it's pretty hard to explain Darwinism if there's giants in the land. Because, see, we're supposed to be getting better and bigger and stronger and smarter because of evolution. Well, if there were bigger, better, stronger, smarter people around thousands of years ago, that's pretty hard for a Darwinist to explain. So they hide those things away. Speak words of faith according to the Amram tablets, which has correspondence between Canaanites and the Egyptians, 14th century B.C., these cities around Canaan were all city-states. They were sovereign states. They were ruled by kings. They had great armies, individual governments, and the cities were heavily, heavily fortified. Therefore, not only were there giants in the land, but the people were prepared for battle because they had been battling one another for centuries. And now the Israelites have come into the land to do battle with these people. And God told them that all they had to do was listen to him, go in, and he would take the land for them. But they couldn't do that. 10 of those spies just couldn't get past the giants in the fortified cities. I can imagine a scenario like this, that they were sitting around one night around the fire before they went back to the Israelites, and they started, one of them brought up, you know, guys, and he probably said it in his best religious voice, brethren, you know, those giants are large, and those cities are very fortified. I'm not sure we can take them. And someone else would pipe in and say, yeah, I saw those giants too, and they're huge, and I'm not sure we can do it. And before long, that was the chatter around the fire. We can't do it. Instead of, yeah, we can go in and take the land. And Joshua probably spoke up and said, wait a minute, brothers. God has told us that we can go in and take this land. And they shut up. And from that time on, instead of speaking in the presence of Joshua and Caleb, they talked behind their backs, saying, these guys are crazy. We can't take this land. We're not going to be able to take this land. They began to try to encourage one another in negativity rather than in faith. I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but we've certainly have experienced it where you went to church before, or if you've been a part of this congregation, we've certainly experienced that in the congregation before. God's people decide to do something for the kingdom, to move out, to establish a new way. God has given us a vision to accomplish certain things. And suddenly somebody starts talking about in the congregation, a leader among the people starts talking about how this should not be done. We're turning into a cult, or we're operating in occult practices, or something stupid, something crazy. And it happens in church after church after church. The same tactic the enemy uses every time. Instead of the leaders rising up and saying, God has called us, God has equipped us, God has given us a mandate to move forward, to accomplish something for his kingdom, they start talking negative stuff. There's giants in the land. And then they start saying things like, well, we'll show them. We're not going to go along with what they're going to do, but we'll show them. We're going to stop tithing. We're going to stop giving. Then we're not going to show up on Sunday morning. We'll just show them. We'll show them who's in charge. I'm going to tell you, so that's the same spirit that jumped on these men when they were in the promised land that said, we cannot go in and take the land. Anytime there's a negativity like that, that stops the move of God and the progress of God, the enemy is behind it, and he's trying to put a stop to it. We have to speak words of faith to one another. We have to encourage one another. God is not through with Bethel Worship Center. We're moving forward. We're going to accomplish great things. I don't care what anybody else says. God has given us a mandate. He's given us a direction. He's given us a purpose. He's given us goals and vision for the future. And we're going to do his will from this moment on. We're going to accomplish great things for the kingdom of God. Yes, sir. Otis just wanted to point out to me that actually the word I was looking for was Nephilim. And that's were the giants in the land of those days. So I appreciate that. Thank you for straightening that out. It's good to have people on your right side and your left that can support you. Amen. All right. I'm telling you what, when you stop flowing in the ministry that God has placed you in, and stop moving in the direction that God has placed you, you not only allow stumbling blocks to hinder you, you become one. You become a stumbling block to others. It holds you back. Leaders are supposed to be experts in trusting God, having faith in their God. So instead of saying it's impossible, we should be able to say it is possible. Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with God. In 1886, man by the name of Walter George did something pretty astounding. Up until that point, men have been trying to run the mile in as little and as short a time as possible. Walter George, in 1886, ran the mile in 4 minutes, 12 seconds, 12 and three-quarter seconds. That's pretty fast to run the mile. For 37 years, that record held. And then in 1932, I believe it was, a man by the name of Pablo ran the mile. He shaved 2 3/4 seconds off that record. He ran it in 4 minutes and 10 seconds. For another 32 years, that record held. Nobody could run it faster. In fact, all the experts were saying it is impossible to run the mile in under 4 minutes. All the experts were saying the same thing. You can't do it. It's impossible. Well, on May the 6th, 1955, in Oxford, England, Roger Bannister ran the mile in 3 minutes, 59 seconds, 59.4 seconds. That's fast. Now, men have done a lot faster these days. I think in 1999 was the last time the record was broken, around 3.5 minutes. Incredible. That's a fast mile. You're moving. But here's the thing about Roger Bannister. When he broke that record, over the next 4 years, 25 other people broke that record. He set the course for everybody. He showed everyone that it was possible. It didn't matter what all the experts said. It was possible. And once it was possible for one man to do it, many could do it.
Come on, sir.
Isn't that incredible? And we're talking about speaking words of faith and not doubt, not destruction. He not only did it, he spoke about it, and other people were inspired to accomplish it. Now, here's something else that is really important. Years before that, Roger Bannister was diagnosed with a crippling disease. The doctors told him he would spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair. Roger Bannister looked at him and said, I will not only walk, but I will run. He got out of that wheelchair and he became the fastest man on earth at that time. That's powerful, isn't it? When we believe, we can receive. When we believe, we can accomplish. When we believe, we are able to overcome. When we have faith and we trust in our God, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing without seeing it manifest. It's knowing that it's going to happen because our God says it will happen. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through, whatever's happening in your life right now, grab hold of the fact that God says He is on your side and you can accomplish it. Nothing is impossible.
Hallelujah.
With God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Obedience to God's will, spy out the land, keep moving, speak words of faith and not defeat. Listen, some of you came up for prayer this morning for health reasons. Speak words of faith. Speak faith over your body. Claim your healing. Believe it. Trust God.
Thank you, Lord.
Keep your focus on the big picture. Verse 25 through 30. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron, all the congregation of children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, and they are large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak." They saw the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan. Now Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overtake it." Caleb and Joshua believed they could take the land. The rest of them believed the giants were too big. They saw themselves as grasshoppers in their sight. These Ites came against them. The Ites got to them. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Ites. How many of us let Ites get into our life? Sometimes the Ites get to us. We're being confronted on every side by an Ite here, an Ite there, an Ite over there. Here an Ite, there an Ite. Everywhere an Ite. Ites. People. They're not always people. It's things. It's situations. It's stumbling blocks. It's obstacles that come before us that are in front of us. And the power of God has been given to us to overcome every Ite in Jesus' name. We can stop them. We can overcome them. Hallelujah. Keep your focus on the big picture. Focus on the fruit, on the good things. When God says He wants to do something for us as a church, keep your focus on the fruit of it. When God says He wants to do something in your life individually, keep looking at the fruit. Otherwise, the obstacles, the giants, the walled cities will get in your way. You'll begin to focus on the ites rather than the fruit. The ites will get you. Milk and honey is what He promised them in the promised land. God is still promising His people milk and honey. He still has good things for us. He still has the milk and honey. All we have to do is enter in with Him. Listen, the promised land is not heaven, the sweet by and by. The promised land is living under the protection of Almighty God here in this earth in the name of Jesus. That's the promised land. And yeah, there's giants in our promised land. But we're giant slayers. We're overcomers. We are the head and not the tail. We're above and not beneath. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. We are overcomers, yes, more than conquerors.
Hallelujah.
We can kill giants.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Giants can't stop us. I don't care what kind of giantite they are. We can bring them down. In Jesus' name, that's right. Hallelujah. Glory. I think what we have to come to grips with is that as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not here on a luxury vacation. You know, God didn't send the Israelites into the promised land and say, you know, just go in there and enjoy yourselves. No, He said, go in there and take the land. Go in there and fight. Go in there and do battle. Go in there and conquer. And He says the same thing to us today in this earth. We are kingdom representatives, and we have been called by Almighty God to take back the territory that the enemy has taken from us. And if we will catch hold of the reality of who we are in Jesus Christ, we can overcome. We can take territory. We can accomplish. We can do. We can be all that God wants us to be. But we must realize this is not going to be a relaxing vacation. This is a battle in the name of Jesus. We have been called to do battle, to fight, to stand, to believe. I know it's tempting just to relax. You know, I like to sit at home, sit in front of my TV, watch a ball game, and relax. And there's time for that. But if that's all I ever do, I'm wasting eternity. Because you can't waste time without wasting eternity. Eternity is before us. People are dying by in thousands without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We have a work to do, a kingdom work in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. People are going to try to discourage you. And they're going to try to keep you from doing what God has called you to. Now listen, I believe that God has called some of you, your businessmen, women, God has called you to that. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you, some of you, you're working a job every day. That's where God has placed you, and he wants to use you for his kingdom in that place. Absolutely. To touch people's lives. Now, the enemy is going to try to stop that. He's going to try to keep you. He's going to try to mute you and make you silent. But if you recognize who you are in Jesus Christ and wait for the leading of the Holy Spirit, God will open the door for you to minister life to people. I believe that. And it doesn't matter what anybody else says. Wait for your opportunity and let God lead and direct you. You will be successful. In late 1960, a young man was at Yale University. He was in management. He was taking a management course, and his professor asked him to write a paper on some sort of business that he would like to start. This young man wrote, his name was Fred Smith, and he wrote a paper proposing that he put together a reliable overnight delivery service. The professor looked at it, he read through it, he said, this is a well-drafted paper, very concise, you explained yourself very well. However, he said, in order to give you more than a C, your idea has to be feasible. And I don't think it's feasible to have an overnight delivery service. Fred Smith left college, took his paper with him, believed in what he had written. And in 1973, I believe it is, 1973, he established Federal Express and became a huge success. It doesn't matter what other people say. If you know who you are and if you believe in what you have been given and what you are able to do, particularly, see, I don't know whether Fred Smith is a believer or not, but he believed in himself. If we in the kingdom of God can believe in what God has spoken to our heart and walk in it, greater things can be accomplished. Incredible things can be accomplished. God has great things in the future for you individually and for this church. But we have to grasp it. We have to believe it and we have to walk in it. Hallelujah. Obedience to God's will, if we're going to turn stumbling blocks into stepping stones. We're going to be obedient to God's will. We're going to spy out the land. We're going to keep moving. We're going to speak words of faith and not defeat. And we're going to keep our focus on the big picture, on the right thing, on God's will. And number six, the last thing I want to share with you this morning, is we're going to keep a positive attitude of faith. Regardless of what anyone else says, Caleb, verse 30 said, Caleb refused to become negative. He didn't care what anybody else was saying about it. He believed that God was going to take them in the land. In fact, I love Caleb so much. He's an incredible man. I think Joshua was great. Joshua became the next leader. But I love Caleb because when it came time to get his inheritance, 40 years later, at the age of 80 or 85, I'm not exactly sure how old he was, somewhere around there, he came to Joshua and he said, I'm ready to go in and take the land. Remember, you promised me the mountain hill country where the giants live. I want them. I want those giants. You can't get a better attitude than that. For 40 years he was waiting. He couldn't wait. Every day I'll bet he got up and he said, come on, God, I want to go take those giants. You promised me I could have the giants. He was anticipating what God was going to do. That's where we need to come with our life. That's the position, the place that we need to arrive, is a position of where we just can't wait till God moves and takes us into that promised land and we can kill some giants. Amen. Yes, he was. Amen. Second Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I can tell you this, unless you trust the word of God, you're not going to walk by faith. Because that's where you put your faith, in the word. You know, I've had people tell me in the past, you know, I don't need to go to church. I can go out in the woods and have fellowship with God. And yeah, you can. There's no doubt about that. But listen, the purpose of our congregating together is one, to worship God, and number two is to be encouraged and build up. And see, the Word of God, when it's preached, it builds you up. It encourages you. It helps you. I hope that you go out of this place today ready to take on a giant and looking for a giant to take on. Not just, you know, well, if one comes along. No, you're going to go out of here today, and you're going to be looking for a giant so you can take him down. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we are well able. Caleb said, we are able to go in and take the land. Now, he didn't say that because he felt like he was able. He just knew that God was on his side. He trusted his God. Faith. In our is God. He had a positive attitude of faith that God was going to do what God said he would do. I want to tell you something. The only way that we can hear the heart of God and what God wants for us is if we keep our ear to his chest. You know? That's where we have to be. Right there all the time with our God. Staying close. In the kingdom of God, your aptitude is not as important as your attitude. But I'm sorry to say, many believers are not walking with the right attitude. Your attitude determines your altitude. How high do you want to fly? How high can you go with the Lord? Isaiah 40:31 says, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. It's powerful. God has called people to do all kinds of ministry. But the most important thing is that every day we are looking for opportunities to touch people's lives with the kingdom. This week I heard an interview with a lady by the name of Christine Kane. And according to the United Nations, there's 27 million slaves in the world today. Now, we all thought slavery had been abolished, didn't we? 27 million slaves. Many of those are sex slaves. Young women and young boys that have been abducted and put into slavery. They sometimes see 30 and 40 sexual partners a day. It's horrible what they're doing to them. And it's happening. It's happening in the United States, but it's happening other places as well. Well, Christine Kane operates a ministry called A21. She and her husband have been, for the last several years, many years, rescuing people who are in slavery. She has a ministry in 10 nations across the world. And as I was listening to her, she told this story. She said that one morning, she and her staff got up and they were impressed by the Holy Spirit to pray for the Stan nations. This is the nations that are located in Central Asia. These were all Muslim nations. She began praying, and they set up prayer vigil, and they started praying for these people. for these nations. 3 days later, a group of girls were rescued from Istanbul. One of the girls told this story. She said, "We've been locked up for over a year. And we have been praying to Allah to rescue us. And nothing happened." She said, three days ago, remember they started praying 3 days ago. She said, 3 days ago, I remembered my grandmother telling me about the God of Europe. So I told the girls about the God of Europe. And we began to pray. And we prayed in the name of the God of Europe, in the name of Jesus. And you came and rescued us. That's powerful. The name of Jesus. They knew nothing about Jesus, just he was the God of Europe. They prayed and God moved on their behalf. If God will move on the behalf of somebody clear over on the other side of the world that we'd never even heard of, how much more will he move on behalf of those who are following him and obeying him every day? We can trust him. He's truly an awesome and mighty God. Stand with me. Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.